Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Tuesday, July the 14th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. First today, the Foreign Office says it's supporting the family of a former Kent landlady after she was shot dead in Trinidad. Elaine McGowan ran the Castle Hotel in Saltwood-in-Hythe for 6 years until last summer. The 65-year-old has been remembered as a beautiful, helpful and lovely lady. Next, and Andy Burnham says police must be given the space they need to investigate the death of former Maidstone MP Anne Widdecombe. The incoming Prime Minister, who will be confirmed as Labour leader on Friday, says the 78-year-old died in an appalling act of violence. Anti-terror police are now leading the inquiry and a murder suspect remains in custody. Meantime, a digital book of condolence has opened in Maidstone so Miss Widdecombe's former constituents can leave tributes. Lucy's been chatting to council leader Stuart Jeffrey.
The news that Anne was murdered is clearly very shocking and upsetting. Anne was quite obviously a very large part of the community in Maidstone. She was highly regarded for her constituency work, i.e. helping people in the community with specific issues. And she was seen a lot and interacted a lot with the people of Maidstone. So people had a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, obviously 23 years is a long time to be an MP and representing a town.
Oh, 23 years is a very long time to be an MP and represent an area. Hence, she was so well known and was able to help so many people. So, which she did. And you know, I can attest to her answering every email and letter that I ever wrote to her, even if I didn't like the answers, that I always got an answer, which was nice.
What was she like as a person? You know, when you sort of were with her in person or discussing an issue, what was she like?
She was extremely forthright in her views. She had no qualms about speaking her mind. We disagreed on many things, but she was always willing to talk to me about them and to others about them, despite our very different opinions on stuff. So which is good, and it's why it's what I expect from good politicians, is that willingness to discuss and debate.
Tell me a bit about this book of condolence then, and the idea behind it.
So obviously, as she was so well regarded locally and lived here in the borough for decades, we have opened a book of condolence. It's online, so access through our Maidstone Borough Council website, and it's simply there so that people can leave their thoughts in that way that allows them to express what they thought about Anne.
What sort of, you know, reaction have you heard from people around Maidstone? I mean, this is a huge national story, and I know she lived down on Dartmoor, you know, in her later years, but it is a huge sort of connection she had to Maidstone.
Yeah, and people have been, we put a statement out last week, and people have been commenting on that, and often the comments are how Anne helped them on various issues. The one that sprung to mind was a woman who said she approached Anne because she was facing eviction, and helped, and she's still in that house 20 years later. You know, that's the kind of story you get, and it's heartwarming. That she intervened at that very granular level to support people in their day-to-day lives.
And South East Water has been told it's got to pay more than £30 million after thousands of Kent customers suffered disrupted supplies. The regulators found the company failed to plan or learn from previous incidents, which left the system unable to cope during extreme weather or high demand. Ofwat says the money will come from shareholders and not customers' bills.
Kent Kent Online News.
A Kent pub which burned down after being struck by lightning is going to be rebuilt after being bought by the local community. The Green Man in Longfield had to be demolished following the blaze in June 2021. Residents have formed a recovery group and say they've had help from an investor to bring the site back into use. We should find out this week how councils in Kent are going to look moving forward. An announcement on what's known as local government reorganisation is expected to be made either tomorrow or Thursday. It'll lead to the current 14 authorities being abolished and replaced with fewer, bigger, unitary ones. It's been confirmed major roadworks to try and ease pressure at a busy junction in Rainham are going to get underway next week. There are often delays on the A2 where it meets Mears Court Road. Bosses say the project will start next Wednesday and should take around 10 weeks. Now, it's been confirmed today that work to remove the masts of the famous bomb ship that sank off Sheppey will get underway in September. The SS Richard Montgomery ran aground during the Second World War and has 1,400 tonnes of explosives on board. The vessel's masts can be seen protruding from the water and will be taken to Chatham's historic dockyard to be preserved. Paul Barnard is Deputy Chief Exec there. He's been speaking to our reporter, Joe Crossley.
We're honoured to be working with the Department for Transport to deal with the initial preservation and conservation of the masts. They're a huge part of local history and heritage, and we're delighted to be playing a role in supporting that for the whole of the South East.
Talk me through the process of how this is all going to work in terms of not maybe a timeline, but just how is it all going to go through?
Once the masts have been removed, they will, all being well, make their way to the historic dockyard where we will start a process of conservation and preservation. And the first part of that will be undertaking condition assessments, understanding what actually do they look like? What are the problems they're going to be facing? These are masts that have been under the water for over 70 years now. So over 80 years, actually. So, you know, understanding the condition, what we need to do, how we need to conserve them, what that looks like will be the first process we then look at. And then we will start to do that. And our intention is we do that in front of the public so people can actually get up front and hopefully see these masts whilst they're initially being conserved with us.
Amazing. And then what will happen to them then?
Longer term is difficult to say. We're looking at that initial conservation and preservation at this stage, and that's the most important thing that we're concerned about. The masts themselves mark a really, really important part of local history and heritage, and telling that Second World War story that is so prevalent here around in the South East, and particularly in the estuary of the Thames and the Medway. So our initial concern is making sure the masts are preserved and they are fit for the future and can continue to tell the story of the Allied forces.
And will they stay at Chatham Dockyard after they're preserved, or are they going to go elsewhere, or will they stay at Chatham?
At this stage, we're just looking at that initial preservation and conservation, and we'll see what the future holds for them from there.
Can you just tell me a little bit about how important they are to the area's history?
Yeah, the masts are hugely important. The ship itself, US Liberty ship, obviously carrying munitions. Most of us know the story of actually how it ran aground and then sank and has been in that position for over 80 years since. But probably the most interesting is the folklore that comes with the shipwreck itself. So the masts really, really visible, even from the shore side here, marking danger, marking challenge, marking all sorts of issues in the area to work around those munitions. But the folklore is really linked into not just the danger of the munitions, but actually what that ship means to local residents in terms of their memories of the Second World War and what ships like that actually did. So it's a very permanent memorial in that respect.
And I'm guessing you're expecting it to be a big attraction?
We're certainly hoping it's going to be an attraction. It's going to be the closest that most people have been to these masts for many, many years. Obviously, there is an exclusion zone around the wreck at the moment for obvious reasons. So being able to get relatively up close whilst we're undertaking a conservation project will be really exciting for me personally, as well as someone that's followed this wreck for many, many years. So we're excited to hopefully let people see that as we go through that work.
Kent Online reports.
Operation Brock has been deployed on the M20 ahead of the summer holidays. The motorway's reopened between Maidstone and Ashford following work overnight to install the contraflow barrier. It's designed to queue lorries if there are delays at Dover and Folkestone, especially because of new EU border checks. A streetlight and 360-degree camera has been installed on a pathway in Northfleet in a bid to stop drug dealing and antisocial behaviour. Vegetation near the walkway between Black Eagle Drive and Swanscombe has also been cut back. attack to deter groups from gathering there. A kebab van operating near Tenterden has voluntarily closed after inspectors found evidence of mice. Pictures at Kent Online today show droppings and greasy walls inside Newenden Quality Kebab, which is based on the A28. Council bosses say there was also no running water and dirty floors. It was given a one-star hygiene rating. Urban explorers have revealed the damage caused to an historic property near Canterbury that's been left abandoned. Hall Place near Rough Common was built in the 1500s and was most recently used by Canterbury Christchurch University, but has been empty since 2019. A group has posted a video on socials showing how it's been covered in graffiti and has smashed windows. The uni sold the property in 2022. Next today, in a Kent nightclub at the centre of a meningitis outbreak in Kent has been praised for the work it's done to raise awareness of symptoms. Two young people died earlier this year with cases linked to club chemistry in Canterbury. Bosses there also called for a meningitis B vaccine to be rolled out, and Year 13 pupils starting university this autumn can now get it. Well, I've been speaking to Dr. Tom Nutt, who's the chief exec of Meningitis Now.
What's happened in Kent really was quite exceptional and quite unprecedented, and it really brought into stark focus just how awful this disease is. So we absolutely applaud the government, or the governments across the UK who've worked in a coordinated way to introduce this potentially life-saving vaccine. As I say, on the back of Kent, we think this is absolutely the right thing to do. You know, this is a potentially vaccine-preventable disease, and why would you not want to protect precious young lives?
Absolutely. As far as this continuing in future, how is the vaccine programme going to work? Because we know it's available for those starting university now for the first time. What's going to happen in years to come?
So, as you say, this is a one-off programme for youngsters leaving school this summer and starting university or college this autumn. At the moment, we don't know what will happen in the future. Our position at Meningitis Now is clear. We'd like to see this vaccine introduced into the NHS's routine immunisation schedule. We think that that has the potential to save lives into the future. So we would absolutely call on government to think about making that introduction. As I say, precious young lives are not a price we should be paying.
So your campaign continues, does it, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we as a charity will do everything we can. You know, we'll absolutely work with government and the NHS to make sure this vaccine programme is a success. We'd love to see it rolled out into the future. And of course, we'll continue to raise awareness of meningitis. You know, no one vaccine is ever 100% effective. So it's still really important that people are aware of the risks of the disease and what to do should they fear that it's struck. Our work does indeed continue.
The club in Kent that was linked to the outbreak in Canterbury, we've spoken to the owner a lot and she obviously was absolutely devastated, but they've done an awful lot campaigning. I'm sure you know of, yeah, Louise Jones-Roberts. What would you like to say about their campaign and how they're encouraging young people to be aware of the symptoms, but also not to share things like vapes? So are you pleased that she's taken that standpoint and what she's done?
Yeah, we're delighted. We've worked very closely with Club Chemistry and they've done the responsible thing, which is to help us and others to raise awareness of the disease. None of this is about scaremongering. For all the fact that meningitis is a terrible and devastating disease, people simply need to be aware of how to prevent it and what to do should they fear that it's struck. You know, with that knowledge, people can help to protect themselves. You know, but people need to carry on their lives as normal. You know, young people will be young people, I'm sure. And that involves going to clubs and pubs and whatever else. And that's really important. You know, this is about protecting precious young lives at a really, you know, brilliant time of their life. So this is about taking the necessary steps to ensure that actually you can enjoy yourself to the maximum.
Kent Online reports.
A leading Kent charity has told the podcast that this summer has been incredibly dangerous for people who are sleeping rough. Temperatures in the county are expected to hit the high 20s again today. That follows three heat waves when the mercury has topped 37 degrees. I've been chatting to Chris Thomas, who's from Canterbury-based Porchlight.
If you think about the heat wave we've all just been through, it's incredibly dangerous for anyone who's homeless. So the more that's being done, the better. And if anyone listening, you know, if you see someone who's out on the streets and you're worried about them, there is a website called StreetLink. And if you use that and report someone, the information will go to the nearest homelessness team in the area. So we'd encourage everyone to do that.
We always think about when it's particularly cold, but I was out in the weather on Saturday. It was boiling. And if you haven't got much shelter and things like that, I mean, that can be incredibly dangerous, can't it?
Oh, it's been insanely dangerous for anyone who's been out over the past week. And you asked about our street teams earlier, and, you know, they have been out delivering water and sunscreen and hats and anything to sort of keep people safe. Even, you know, there was a man who was out, and one of our workers brought him a McDonald's meal so he could go inside to the restaurant and have a bit of air conditioning. And we're working really hard to keep people safe, and it's only people's donations that allow that to happen. But yeah, you're right. You know, the summertime in these heat waves, it's an incredibly dangerous time to be homeless.
Part of Kent's police headquarters in Maidstone has been sold off. The land on Sutton Road includes a number of underused buildings along with a field. It was put on the market for £16.2 million last year. A Margate man says he's resorted to bolting his wheelie bins closed to stop neighbours from using them to dump their own rubbish. Matt Scholl, who lives on Athelstan Road, thinks months of missed or delayed collections has led to people using others' bins to dispose of their waste. There have been issues after the council brought in a new recycling system for 27,000 households. Extra bin lorries have now been brought in to tackle the problem. The University of Kent's campus in Canterbury has been awarded a prestigious green flag for the first time. It's an international symbol of quality for well-managed parks and green spaces. The campus has been recognised for its commitment to biodiversity, sustainability and community. And the stars of Heartstopper are going to be out on the red carpet later for the premiere of the new movie. The original Netflix show is based on books by Kent author Alice Oseman. Heartstopper Forever is getting its world premiere in Leicester Square tonight and will be available to watch at home on Friday.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham are back in action tonight for their first pre-season friendly. They're travelling to take on Dover Athletic at the Crabble. The dual squad has plenty of fresh faces after 16 players left before the summer. Kickoff is at 7:30. A Kent swimmer says she's aiming for a medal at this summer's Commonwealth Games, her fourth major championships before she's even taken her GCSEs. 15-year-old Iona Winifrith from Tunbridge has already competed at the Paralympic Games, World and European Championships. She'll be representing Team England for the first time in Glasgow, competing in the breaststroke. Meantime, her teammate has just won double gold at the European Junior Championships just days before heading to the Commonwealth Games. Emily Smith set records in the women's 400-metre individual medley and the women's 4x100-metre freestyle relay. The 16-year-old will be making her senior debut at the Games in Glasgow. And finally, the World Cup final is going to be shown at Folkestone Harbour Arm if England get through. None of the previous games have been on there because of the late kickoff times. Bosses now say they'll show Sunday's match if England beat Argentina tomorrow night. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.